Don't you appreciate those songs? I read an illustration about a man who was dying. New pastor had come to town, to the church. He went by to visit the man that was dying. And as the young pastor, he wanted to inquire if the man truly knew Christ as his Savior. And the man said, "Yes, I have been saved." And the young minister said, "Surely that is a comfort and a consolation to your life at this point." And he said, "It is, but that's not the source of all of my consolation. It's not so much that I know him as my Savior, but it's the fact that he knows that I'm his child that brings me comfort and strength and assurance. I'm glad he knows who I am. I know the voice of the shepherd, but he knows the sheep. And I bless his name this morning." Appreciate the singing from Miss Penny, and she'll do some more for us in the morning. But it's good to have Brother Mike Holcomb, evangelist from up in Bryson City, Silva area. Brother Mike is no stranger to camp meeting here in Taylorsville. It's good to have him and Boo with us. And he's going to come around and preach about 30 minutes for us this morning. It's our privilege to have him. You hear him and you help him while he preaches. Love you, Brother Mike. Amen.
It's good to be in camp meeting this morning. Good to see all of you here. We always enjoy coming this way. Gospel of John, chapter number 2 this morning, please. Brother, I can't answer that question you ask about whether we're going through the roof or around it or how we're going to go. I just know I get to go. Amen. I appreciate that. And I love that line that he said, "On the same page where I'm living, I'll be leaving." Amen. That means it's real close, isn't it? Our years are as a tale that is told. We're just here for a short while. One page in the Word of God would be sufficient. Amen. John chapter number 2, verse number 1, the Bible said, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." I believe that'd be good instruction for all of us, don't you? Whatever he says for you to do, just do it. Because it's going to be right. He's never done anything wrong. So if you'll take his instruction and just follow it to the letter, just do it, it'll be all right.
That's good, bro.
And there were there, and set there, 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him.
Amen.
Father, I ask you to bless the word of God to our hearts today. Sure do need your help. Can't do a thing without you. But Lord, I beg you that you might touch us with the anointing of the unction of the Holy Ghost. Help us rightly divide your word, say exactly what needs to be said, nothing more, And we'll thank you and bless you for what you accomplish in Christ's name. Amen. This first miracle Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, the changing or the transformation of water into wine or unfermented grape juice. The wedding festivities had come to a halt to a point that it was probably getting embarrassing. Apparently, the quantity of wine needed for the guest had been underestimated or possibly unprepared. There are a whole lot of folks today in the world in which we live that are underestimated and unprepared for the going to a wedding in the sky, a happy, happy wedding in the sky. I'm glad I don't only have a reservation. I've got a proclamation. I am going. Amen. Amen. I get to go to that wedding in the sky. It's already been talked about. One of these days, the trumpet's going to sound, voice going to ring out with a shout, and we're going to be lifted off out of here to meet the Lord in the air. What we do after that, I really don't care. Because I'm going to be with Him where He is, and that's going to be good enough for me. But there's a lot of people in this world today that have underestimated what it's going to take to get to go to the wedding in the sky. They're not prepared. The only one who can get you prepared is Jesus. The only one who has the answer, the only one who has the remedy is Jesus. Neither is there salvation in the other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. There is no other plan, there is no other way. You're either saved by the grace of God because of God's plan, God's grace, and God's mercy, or you're not prepared, one or the other. The number six used here is these water pots is the number of man. Mankind is incapable of getting prepared for eternity by themselves. Jesus is the only one who's able to save even to the uttermost, even to the guttermost, all who will come unto God by Him. But I want you to notice for a little while the instructions that have been given by Christ that the miracle would be made possible. He said, fill the water pots, all six of them. Each of them containing between 2 and 3 firkins apiece. Now, I had to be honest with you, I had to study that to find out what a firkin was. And I found out that it's between 14 and 25 gallons in each one of these water pots. And so that was a total of between 90 and 150 gallons of water that was placed in there that was turned into wine. But the instructions were, you pour it in and then draw it out. Amen. You pour it in and then you draw it out. For a little while, I want to give you about 6 things that if you'll pour in, you'll draw out from God. Amen. Amen. Some of you need to take notes here so that you can preach a series on it, okay? But I'm just going to try to give you my outline for a few minutes and be done. Number one, if you'll pour in your sin, you'll draw out His forgiveness. Hallelujah. If you'll pour in your sin, you will draw out His forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, we all know and love. If we confess our sins, not try to hide them, not try to excuse them or try to justify ourselves in them, but if we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Past, present, and future sin is all taken care of when we confess our sins before the Master and the grace of God takes the Word of God and cleanses us from all of our sin. I'm glad all of my sin is gone because Jesus has cleansed me of all my sin. When the day, July 22nd, 1964, on a Wednesday morning in an old-fashioned altar, when I hit my knees and begged God to save me, He washed me from all my sin and cleansed me that day, and I've not been the same since, and I never will be again because all my sins are gone. You pour in your sin, and He will help you to draw out His forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 7, the Bible said, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The bank account established in heaven by the grace of God says, I forgive. Amen. Amen. The grace of God has saved us through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. No matter who you are, no matter who you think you are, no matter where you came from, no matter who you're kin to, you must be washed, you must be cleansed, you must be made righteous, you must be made holy in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Ye must be born again. It's the only thing that will wash away your sin and give you forgiveness. In this world today, there are a whole lot of folks that are trying to proclaim that sin in our lives doesn't really matter. But it matters to God. To the one true and living, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, sin matters in our life. Several years ago, I had the opportunity of preaching in a little meeting in Robbinsville, North Carolina, a little country church. And I got over there that night and began to look around, and this side of the church is pretty well full. This side of the church wasn't very full. Matter of fact, there was a young lady sitting on the second row on the end pew by herself. And preachers, you understand this. You know that from the pulpit you can see and read people's lips is what they're saying, what they're pointing to and things that are going on. I saw people fold their arms and look at that young lady and say, what's she doing here? What do you reckon she would want to come to this meeting for? She was sitting there on that second pew all by herself. Our priest gave an invitation. She got up and she came and stood at the end of the communion table all by herself. And all them folks that wondered what she was a-doing there was still standing bug-eyed because they didn't want anything to do with her. I didn't know anything about her myself. I didn't know her reputation. I didn't know what she'd been into. Nobody came to pray with her. Nobody came to help her. Nobody came to say anything to her whatsoever. I didn't know any better, so I walked around and I stepped down there myself. And I said, ma'am, what is it that I can help you with? How can I pray for you? She looked at me and tears began to trickle down her face. And she said, preacher, can God really forgive me? Can God really forgive me? She looked at me, pitiful looking, and she was only in her late 20s. And she said, can God help me? She said, you don't understand, preacher. If it's ever been bad, I've done it. If it's ever been wrong, I've been a part of it. I've been a drunkard. I've been a whoremonger. I've been a drug addict. I've even killed my own unborn baby. Preacher, if it's ever been bad, I've done it. I've been a part of it. Can God really forgive me? I looked at her and I said, well, ma'am, it appears to me that you're in the right place. And it appears to me that you're in the right frame of mind and in the right atmosphere. Why don't you just bow right there and try him out and see what he'll do? She hit her knees there at the corner of that communion table and she began to call on the Lord God of heaven. I didn't try to lead her through anything. I just heard her, and she was talking to God, and she was begging the Lord to have mercy on her soul and to do something for her that nobody else could do. It wasn't 2 hours later. It wasn't but just a few minutes later. She stood to her feet, and instead of looking back at that crowd that didn't want anything to do with her, she looked up toward heaven and raised up both of her hands, and she said, he did. He did. I've never felt this clean before. You pour in your sin, and he will help you draw out your forgiveness. Amen. You pour in your prayers, you'll draw out his answers. Pour in your prayers, you'll draw out his answers. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 3, the Bible said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Again, in Jeremiah 29, verse 12, the Bible said, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I'm glad the God of heaven still hears and still answers prayer. God still hears our call from our heart. He's waiting on us to talk to him and to pour our heart out unto him that he might show us the answer that we need. I'm glad God still hears and answers prayer today. He's the same as it's always been. We have access to the Father through Jesus Christ the Lord. I don't have to go to anybody that wears their collar backwards and sits in a little cubicle to try to get a hold of God for me. But because of Jesus and his shed blood and the way that was opened up before me, I can call on God myself. He still hears and answers prayer. Pour in your problems and you'll draw out his guidance. Pour in your problems and he'll let you draw out his guidance. He knows what to do. He knows how to do it. And he never ever makes a mistake. He who knows the end from the beginning is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Instead of whining and murmuring and complaining, just bring it to Jesus and leave it with him. Bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Bring your problems to Christ and leave them there. Too often we bring them to the altar, we lay them down, then we pick them right back up and take them back home with us. But God said, I want you to bring it to me. Call on me. Give it unto me, and I will hear, and I will answer prayer. Ask and it shall be given. You seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I found this verse in Matthew 21:22 that I wish Baptists could get a hold of. And all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. That's in the King James Bible. I didn't write that. It wasn't my opinion. It wasn't something I heard about from somebody else. God said, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. That's a promise of God that he's never going to back down on. Amen. Not one jot nor one tittle shall ever pass away till all shall be fulfilled. God is not going to quit answering prayer, and God is not going to quit answering prayers that begin with faith. Amen. Amen. We need to stop selling the Lord short on his promises. Ephesians 3:20 says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. 13 years ago, my wife and I have got a son, and now he's 45 years old. But 13 years ago, he was up in a tree stand. Yeah, that was a sin of his. Been a sin of mine several times, too. I'm looking at some that's a sin quite often of. Amen. He was up in a tree stand, and he had a had his bow hanging on one side and had his backpack hanging on the other side. And he had talked on his cell phone. He talked to his wife and he talked to his mother. And he dropped it in that cell phone into his case behind him, his backpack. And as he twisted back around to sit down on that seat where he was, the strap underneath it broke and he fell 24 foot to the ground. It didn't knock him out, but it addled him so bad that he didn't know how bad he was hurt for a while. He looked and his index finger on his right hand, and he's right-handed, was pointed in another direction. He couldn't tell, but his wrist was broke across here. But worse than that, he had absolutely crushed his L5 in his back. When he tried to roll over, he could tell he didn't have any legs, didn't have any feeling in his legs and feet. So he knew he couldn't walk. He tried to pick himself up, but he just couldn't. He began to do like everybody else and holler for help, but it was a mile to the nearest person. So all he knew to do was try to crawl back to that four-wheeler that had brought him in there. He got up on his elbows and crawled and crawled and crawled until there was no hide left on his elbows. And he couldn't hold on to anything with his right hand, so he would take his left hand and reach and get something and pull himself to it. And he'd reach and get a little tree. He had to go up a bank and he had to pull himself up a little bit, and then he would reach and get another one and pull himself and drag himself 308 yards to get back to the four-wheeler that he came in on. When he got to that four-wheeler, how was he going to get on it? He didn't have any legs. He reached up with one hand, took a hold of the rack on the back of it, pulled himself up as high as he could, but he was so tired from all that he'd already done, he just fell back to the ground. And so he waited for a few minutes to get some strength back in him. He reached up with both hands, and this time he reached and took that right finger and pulled it until he put it back in place. So he could barely hold on with the right hand and the left hand. He pulled himself up on his belly, took his left hand and pulled his leg around and sat down on the four-wheeler. Thank God he'd left the key in it. He cranked it and he drove to his friend about a mile away. They got him to the hospital. They did surgery that night. For 3 days, we had prayed that God might touch him. Our son is a big fella. He's 6'8 and a half and weighs about 280 pounds. You can't call that a boy. Amen. That's pretty much of a man. Amen. And there he was. He'd always been athletic. He'd always been able to play ball, run, do whatever he wanted to do. Now, didn't know if he'd ever walk again. The doctor came in on that Wednesday morning, and we were sitting there, and he spoke to us, and he said, "You know, I believe our part of the surgery was a success. We were in the window of time, and there were no hiccups, and there was nothing, no complaints, and no things that went wrong. We believe our part has been done right. But whether your son will ever walk, run, play ball again, we don't know. We've been praying for 3 days that God might let him feel his feet, that God might let him walk again, that God might restore health to his body." His PA, the physician's assistant standing next to him, said, "But you never know what God will do." Amen. We left that room a little while later, my wife and I, and we started walking across that humongous corridor going to the cafeteria on the other end. And as we were going, there was a fella obviously coming to meet us. He came from the side, from the right. Glory to God. Never thought of it that way. He's coming from the right side. Hallelujah. He was coming up to meet us as we were going across. And when we got there, he stuck out his hand to shake hands with me. And I reached to get his hand, and he looked at me and he said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Yes, sir, guilty." He said, "You were." Some of you might have a problem with that. I didn't. "He said you were." He shut his eyes and closed his eyes, and tears began to trickle down his face, and he squeezed my hand with both of his, and he said for me to tell you, it's going to be all right. He said for me to tell you, it's going to be all right. I said, "My brother, I sure did need to hear that today." He said, "Yeah, he told me to tell you." He turned to go his way. We went on across and started up the steps to go to the cafeteria. When we got to the top, both of us turned around on purpose to see where that man was and didn't see him anywhere. Can I go on to tell you that my son has two of the finest grand young'uns that's ever come along? Can I go on to tell you that they go to church every time the doors are open? Can I go on to tell you that God still hears and God still answers prayer? Pour in your problems and draw out his guidance. He knows what to do, and he does it well. Pour in your sorrows, draw out his comfort. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Glory to God. Jeremiah said, "The Lord of old hath appeared unto me, saying, Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Amen. Pour in your need. Draw out his supply. Pour in your need. Draw out his supply. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." He didn't say he's going to supply all your wants. He said, "What do you need? I will supply all your need." A whole lot of the things that I want are not things that I need. Amen. I can get a minute and preach it too. It just takes me a little longer to get done. A whole lot of things that I want are not things that I need. But the things that I need, I have a God that says I'm going to supply. And he's never lied to me. He's never told me an untruth. He's never tried to twist what he wanted to say. He's always said, "Whatever you need, ask for it. I'll supply it." Amen. When you fix our hearts and our minds on Jesus, then he supplies our need. And number six, I'm done. Pour in your future. Draw out his eternity. Pour in your future and draw out his eternity. John chapter 10, verse 28, the Bible says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus stepped out of eternity into time that we would have the opportunity to step out of time into his eternity. I get to go be with him. As I already said, this world's not my home. I'm just passing through here. Amen. I got a far, far better place to go to, and it's with him. I really do get to go. It's not a fairy tale. It's not something I've read, not something I've heard about. It is a real place. I really do get to go. Amen. Absolutely nothing can separate me from the love of Christ, my Lord, my God, my King, my Redeemer, my dearest friend. He's everything that anybody will ever need, now and forever. On the banks of sweet deliverance, we're still going to be singing, I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand. Thank God I'm his and he's mine. And I have the promise it's going to stay that way. How about you? Bless you, preacher.